Hey everyone, I'm Zach. I'm here with Brodsky.
Hello.
And Delaney.
Howdy.
And our guest today played Zeph on the One Piece live action series. We have Craig Fairbrass with us. How's it going, Craig?
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for coming. So how's everything going over there? I know you're doing the convention circuit and is this a new world for you?
Yeah, it is, funny enough. Obviously I'm in London and I'm not a great flyer. I'm just not a lover of flying long distance, you know. I did it like 26 times last year, but I don't like it. So I like the Comic Cons that are mainly in Europe, maybe the Middle East. But when you're doing a 15, 16 hours on planes to turn up for 2 days and then fly somewhere else, it's draining as you get older.
It's draining now. I can imagine.
In any age, I feel like it's when you have to do like the 15 hours and then you're like there for like 48 and you're like, well, time to go back.
Oh.
You lose so many more days than you actually gain.
Yeah. But let me just say this, though. I mean, it is a new world to me. It's a fascinating world because the people you meet and the love for the One Piece is absolutely mind-blowing. I've got to say, it's incredible. And trust me, I only had a tiny, you know, in terms of the series, it was a smaller role. It was a lovely role. But the fans are just... they've just got this fascination with the anime, the manga, whatever you want to call it. It's just incredible.
I say, you say a small role, but you have a very important role too.
I was going to say.
So I wouldn't call it you
stand out. I was going to say.
It is also the Sanji proximity effect. It's like a black hole of fans.
Yeah, when Taz is around, I think everything else.
Yeah, that whirlwind of energy.
So I want to first ask, I know you have had a storied career so far. I'm just curious how you fell into acting.
How I fell into acting? Oh, God. No, I just always wanted to be an actor. Watched millions of films with my dad growing up. You know, loved the James Bond films. Uh-huh. Loved John Wayne, Lee Marvin. I liked all the men actors. You know what I mean? It was like that. You know, back in the day in the 50s, you know, most of the guys who played villains or gangsters or you know, army in the military, they'd all done it. They were the real deal. And they, you know, there was a lot of men actors then. There's still quite a few now, but I mean, when I look at Lee Marvin, John Wayne, Charles Bronson, Kirk Douglas, Richard Widmark, Bogart, Cagney, they were all geezers, as we call them, you know, sort of tough and rough. And I was just fascinated by that whole side of cinema and just sort of just pursued it. And when I was about my early 20s, I went up for a film. I got an agent by mistake who believed in me and they tried to find an actor to play opposite Denzel Washington in a movie that he was shooting in London. And they'd looked for ages and they couldn't find the guy. And this woman said to me, they're never going to see you because your pictures are too good. You've got long hair and you look, you know. Anyway, cut a long story short, I went in for this audition and I ended up getting this role. And it was in a film called For Queen and Country. And Denzel Washington played a black paratrooper who had a London accent. He'd fought for Queen and Country, but they wouldn't give him a passport. So it was a massive political movie at the time, ahead of its time, really. And that was the real beginning of it, you know. And it sort of went on from there, you know, as it does for all actors, bits and pieces, you know, climbing the ladder.
I'm sure.
As you can probably tell, like, I love the Bond movies. I kind of love, like, that whole, like, it sounds, again, like, you're also a very fan of, like, kind of, like, those, like, action-type movies when you're, like, watching, getting excited, and that's kind of a drive in there. And it's kind of, like, it's so fun to, like, love it and then be able to be in it, too. I can't imagine, like, the kind of, like, excitement that you can get from that. enjoy.
Well, you know, you say that, and it's a funny thing is because people, I went out, I did a small role in a groundbreaking British show that went on to win Emmys awards. It was a show called Prime Suspect with Helen Mirren. And I did two of those. And then an agent saw me and said, oh, you should come out to LA. And I went out there for 6 weeks. I've got two offers and two jobs. And I ended up having a small role. But I was throughout the film in Cliffhanger with Stallone. So saying that, when people say to me, you know, when you look back, you was involved in that film. It's a huge action movie. And it's true. But you never really grasp that until you do watch it years later and you go, oh my God, the actual scale and magnitude of Cliffhanger, even now, it stands up to time. It stands the test of time. It's still a great action film, you know. Yeah.
I watched it was like maybe a couple of weeks ago where someone shared the breakdown of how they did the fall of the beginning of Cliffhanger, just because it occurs to me, it's like there's so many steps to that. Like, now here's where we dropped her, and here's the stunt woman, and here's the dummy, and here's like just like breaking down bit by bit. I'm like, man, we make movies sometimes. Hachi Machi. Yeah. It's amazing.
Anyway, back to One Piece.
Okay, we'll get back to One Piece. I guess we should. Maybe. So how did you find your way into One Piece from all of that? It seems, I know you probably didn't even know what you were auditioning for at the time, but yeah, how did you find your way there?
You know what, I'll be brutally honest with you, I didn't. It's a funny story, I've told it 1,000 times, so for anyone who's heard this for the 1,000th time, I apologize. Basically, I did a very, very amazing movie I'm very, very proud of. It went to the States. New York Times gave it 5 stars. It's a film called Villain. It's about an old gangster who comes out of prison in London. His family are in trouble. The last thing he wants to do is to go back to the type of man he was, that old one, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a great premise. And he does, but it's a very, very, it's a London shot movie. It's very visceral, very dark, very violent. But it's got a beautiful story. It's got the human story at its heart. There was a young actor in that who came on. He was just a kid, a lovely kid. I was the star of the movie. He's there. He's got 5-6 days on the film. And I'm looking at him thinking, he's got something about him, that boy. Yeah. Anyway, we became friends. Because I looked at him and I just thought, as soon as I grabbed his hand and looked at him, I said to Bart, the producer, I said, he's got something about him, Taz. I think he's going to be a massive star. I just got that gut instinct. Anyway, I told him that. He did his stuff on the film. We became really good mates. He then calls me a couple of years later. I mean, we talk anyway, but he calls me and says, listen, I'm putting a play on in town in the West End. I want you to be in it. And I'm like, no, I can't go back to that fear. It's terrifying.
Like, don't want to go back to theater. It's like, no.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And it was a really good play. He wrote it with this other guy. It was about PTSD in soldiers. There's only 5 of us on stage, but Taz was the lead in the show. He was breathtaking in it. I watched him every single night smash it for 2,500 on stage, sweating, running around, bouncing off the walls because he's a massive ball of energy. He was incredible. And, you know, we became great friends. Anyway, cut a long story short, fast forward, he lands the role of Sanji.
Yeah.
And he's out in South Africa and he's out with the producers and they're saying, oh, God, we're having real problems casting this character, this big old pirate called Zeff. And Ted just goes, you know, have you seen Craig Fairbrass? And they're like, who? They go, this British actor. Cut a long story short again. They go through to my agents at United and send me 2 scenes. I couldn't wait to put them down on tape because they were such great scenes. It was so different for me. It was a lovely role. I loved it because he was very similar to the part of Eddie Franks in Villain. Eddie was a big, tough geezer, but he had a lovely way about him, an emotional side that was very endearing. And I found the same thing with Zeff. He was all sort of front and gruff. But underneath it, he was soft. He had a good heart. Oh, he was only doing everything for the right reason. And then end up getting a role.
What scenes did they send ahead for you?
The first scene when I send him out. So you can't serve that. Get out. I was like, but, yeah, and then another scene with me and him, a little bit softer. But it was one of them roles, you know, as actors, sometimes you go up for parts and you know that. I just thought, you know, this is, I've got such a connection with this. I'd be very surprised if it don't go my way, you know. Lucky enough, it did.
One thing I said too is like, one thing I said is like, not only are you perfect for that role, because like you kind of like you, just seeing when we first saw you kind of like come out as Zeph, it's like that is what I would imagine he honestly would look like.
Yeah.
And the fact that you had that connection with Taz, just like, you know, you're like, just throughout the history that you guys have been together, it helped play on, you could tell that you guys like kind of knew each other, kind of like had that like already dynamic set that like you can't, it's hard to act, you know, like if you, the way you can kind of like bully each other in like the best sense.
We worked on them scenes because we were staying in the same apartment block in Cape Town, and Taz was, I think, the next floor up from me or down from me. And when he was really, really busy because he was doing all the fight rehearsals constantly. He's a hardworking boy. Do you know what I mean? He was always at the studio working. When he wasn't, he'd say to me, "Do you want to run them lines?" And we'd run the lines, and we sort of got to a point where they were, you know, we found the magic in there, and I think that was it. The most important thing, you know, the rhythm.
It absolutely pours out of the screen, I think, the two of you. That's very cool, hearing that you have that history, and hopefully you'll be together in other films. And I don't know how much Zeph is showing up in the near future in the series, but I hope.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see him again personally, because I think, you know, I was lucky enough to do that part, but it was a great opportunity for me to be in that show because I was changing things up as an actor. Mm-hmm. But because it is, what I found out is, you know, it is from Oda, it is very strict to the manga, to the anime. So there's no making it up. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Right, everything's based on those episodes.
Zeph is still around, though.
I don't think Zeph ever shows his face again. So it's just one of them things, I think.
In like flashbacks, I think he kind of shows
and he's there yelling at everyone else. He shows up every so often. Just not Sanji, because Sanji's not there. I guess the other thing I would want to ask in inhabiting that role is the costume, and I'm sure that was very different from probably pretty different from anything else you've done in the past. Just the full look of Zeph, the hat, the leg, I think I heard a story about the leg specifically. I can't remember in one of the interviews either we've done or that I've heard. I don't know if you want to, what was it like?
It was difficult. I won't lie to you. I think it was difficult for anybody who had a lot of prep and makeup, you know, with a moustache and the dyed hair and the actual costume itself. But you know what? I embraced it because it was like you rightly said, it was something. I'd always wanted to do this type of stuff. So, because everything I've done is set modern day or you know, 20, 30 years ago, nothing was like this. So it was exciting. It was new. It was different. The leg business was a bit of a pain because obviously I had to go out to Cape Town early to spend 2 weeks getting a prosthetic, you know, a cast made of my leg, and then it would be strapped up, and then the leg would go on, you know, with a wooden peg leg, you know, it would go on, and it was horrendous, you know, because sometimes you'd be acting and I'd be thinking about the, I nearly swore then, you know, I'd be thinking about the leg because you'd lean on it and you'd cut into you, and then I'd have to take it off and then reset it. But then you decide to use it and you go, right, you get familiar with it like all things over time. But the whole concept of getting there in the morning, because it was very early pickups in Cape Town, going to Tomorrow Studios, you know, I mean, I was one of the lucky ones. I had a lot, about an hour in the chair. But then, yeah, it's all part of the process of making that character, and the moustache kept moving when I talk, you know.
That was going to be my question. That is like, that's like such a key feature of Zeph, is that giant mustache. I know, like in the anime and manga, like it sticks straight out, but like I was always mesmerized when I would watch you talk and just bounce around. So,
yeah,
I was always curious. I like, is that something that probably was like hard to get used to, I'm assuming, because like you're not used to, you mean, you can have a mustache, but like when it's dangling so far down.
I enjoyed every second of it. There was a very enjoyable job. Apart from getting food poisoning in Cape Town. But that's enough.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The levels of irony on that one, Jesus.
Oh.
Didn't even think of it like that, yeah.
But it is the epicenter of food poisoning, so it's expected.
Yeah, but all the chef work. Yeah, I guess. How was it also, I think, like, One of the most critically acclaimed, and certainly with me as well, scenes in the series is your work with young Sanji, Christian, and that whole scene in...
Oh, on the island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. How was that?
Well, we had to reshoot it.
Right.
It was made a lot bigger than it was intentionally originally done, and then I've just finished another big series for the BBC, and I got a call out of the blue saying, "Oh, you've got to go back." And I wanted to make that whole section bigger, with a green screen, a different island, the sea. You know, it was a big setup. And Christian was an incredible actor. You know, the young boy from Sweet Tooth, he's fantastic. And I think we got a lot more out of that scene that was actually written on the page, because it became a much more an emotional journey for Zeph, because it all came back to him with the life he'd had of trying to find the one piece, you know, and the all blue. It was it's quite a big deal for him to hand over the mantle for someone else to go after it, if you know what I'm trying to say, on the journey.
Yeah.
And it really worked. I was really happy when I saw it back. I went to do some ADR on it. And I was really, really happy. But I knew they was happy on the day, because we did a lot of stuff and we got loads of different takes. Some where I was, you know, not as downbeat, not as emotional. Some where I was very, very sort of just, you know, cold, and not so much cold, but just matter of fact. But they went for the emotional one, and I think it was the wise choice. It was the right choice. And he was incredible. You know, it worked well.
I think from when we've been talking to people on here, it's like, as you said, like they reshot the entire part, and it sounds like that's kind of happened bits and pieces throughout like the filming of the series, and to its benefit, it sounds like, because like Oda, I guess, will like look at it and want to expand it. I think that scene specifically for like Sanji and for Zeph are so important. So I did not know until right now that you guys like completely redid that, and they had you come back out to extend it, because... Yeah, I remember it's always a very like short scene, but like having those other emotional beats really add to it. And I think like I don't know if I could imagine it any other way than the emotional take that they ended up going with too.
Yeah. But there's always those choices in the cutting room and the editing suite where they can, you know, change the rhythm of something if it needs to be changed. But you know what? It made me really realize just what a show I was a part of and how they was... the attention to detail, and I think that is why the show has become the massive success it was, you know, number one in 84 countries, is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I think that attention to detail of going back and reshooting stuff and making it better and getting everything right, you know, the money that was spent was worth spending.
Like you can see like the investment that is, because like we've seen like other shows like that can like flop or that stuff like that, where you can kind of like tell maybe it was like not like a cash grab, but like they did it quickly, they didn't refilm it or like think about those types of things. But then hearing about the care that they took into One Piece, and even from like the directors, even from like the staff, like the makeup designers and stuff we talked to, it's like everyone was really passionate, and it shows in there, and it's worth the money to go in and like do those reshoots, because you know maybe it wouldn't have been as, I mean, you've been around in like the business, all that kind of stuff for I think more than because we have there's a lot of new actors that were in this too, so it was really wonderful to see. And so like even from like your perspective on that too, is like being like well seasoned and then seeing some of these like newcomers in there as well, like how probably like you can see like their passion for it.
No, it's incredible. I mean, really, it was an experience. You know, when the actual size of the whole setup there, the scale of the series, you know, Tomorrow Studios, and even outside of that, they took stages elsewhere. You know, and when you look at something of that magnitude, you just realize that you are a part of something that's just, you know, going to be huge. Lucky enough, it worked. Everything worked. Because sometimes it don't.
Yeah.
Regardless of how much money you spend,
yeah,
or how good it is, or you know, it's not always, you know, the fault of any individual. Sometimes it just doesn't happen.
And that's why the editor is so important.
you're 100% right. That is why the editor is so important.
Thank you.
Everything's important.
speaking of attention to detail, I've been picking my brain over something, but I wanted to ask you first. Where did you start with Zeff? I know everyone made the Ramsay jokes. I was definitely seeing that in the run-up, the Gordon Ramsay jokes. I don't want to go for the obvious assumption, so I'm curious kind of where you started with Zeff, if you pulled anywhere for him or just kind of followed your own instinct.
I'm really not that type of actor. I learn my dialogue, I look at the character, I do my homework, and then I just try to make it as real as possible, you know, just to make it believable. Find the truth in everything. Just try and make it natural and real. I don't want to make it acty too much. Although he's a little bit gruff, he's a bit animated. But then on the stuff where he became, it was very heartfelt. That's where my strength is to make it really natural and real. Because when it's natural and real, that's when it has the effect on the audience of, it can, you know, it can move them, it can make them just feel maybe uncomfortable or I don't know. It's when you can, you know, to film something, put it on screen, and then to slightly move people if you can do it, it's amazing. It doesn't work all the time, but when it does, it's incredible.
You did it a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. You nailed that right away.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, I think at the beginning, the gruff old man, I do, that's always a archetype I love in movies. And always the one that does make me cry are the gruff old man characters. Yeah. I mean, there's something about it.
And there was also a little tiny little sprinkling of Long John Silver that was in there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just that pirate-y, you know.
You gotta have fun with it. If you're playing a pirate, you're like, heck yeah.
They're gonna give you that leg, you're gonna use it.
Oh god, I always wanted to play Long John Silver. I so wanted to do that part. That and Bill Sykes in Oliver. Two roles as a growing up, I went, give me the chance, give me the opportunity.
Anyway. This is pretty close to, yeah.
Just leave that on the demo.
Also, just like putting realism in a series that is very goofy and ridiculous at times is, I think it really captures the heart of why people do love the series. And I think, you know, for a guy with the long braided mustache and the giant hat and the peg leg, you know, and making that a relatable and just like an empathetic character is so cool that you were
able to. You just brought up something. Can I me just say something to you? Because I'm nearly swore again. Forget the peg leg.
That's fine.
You can swear. I do it too much. Sex.
Forget the effing peg leg. Forget the fucking mustache. Let's talk about the hat.
Yes,
oh, yeah, the hat. Oh. The hat.
I meant it keeping that on your head.
No, but listen, that wasn't a problem. It was entering the rooms and walking around the kitchen.
The spatial awareness.
It got caught in the fan. It got caught on the pots. It got caught on the beam of the door.
This is what Shaquille O'Neal has to go through on a daily basis, probably.
No amount of Stanislavski can prepare you for a hat that big.
No.
I don't know if you saw, so like Japan did a collaboration with One Piece and McDonald's, and they had Zeph as like one of the main characters of it. They had a huge billboard that scaled the size of a building where it's like him at the bottom and his hat was from his head all the way to the top of like the building. So his hat is so important, but I can't imagine like the spatial awareness that you have to have when you have something that tall where you can't see. Yeah. Like, yeah, you'll hit everything.
Oh God! It was, and when it was on, it was fitted on, and I had like five or six people around me, you know, bending down on their knees when I'm standing there acting, and they're like waiting for the hat to go.
You just have like around you, just waiting for like to catch the
catch the wind. It'll fly you away.
Yeah, no, that's funny. But, I mean, it all worked, and some of the characters in that show. I mean, you know, I was the fishmen.
Oh,
I worried about. I thought about me moaning in makeup. They were getting picked up at 3 a.m. They'd be like 7-8 hours in makeup, you know, with the. Oh God, but they looked incredible.
They did. I think the actual prosthetics versus something added on later always looks better because you're actually able to act in, you know, and see their acting.
Yeah.
I have a question too, because like honestly, I love of all the episodes, you're like the set of the Baratier is one of my like favorites, and I know they like built that
It's gone.
So like how was that? Because you can actually instead of it being like a green screen that's like, you know, sometimes you're used to, and then they have like where you some expect like they had the full thing built. Was it more fun to like kind of like, or how was your experience on that? Like, or your thoughts on all that?
The funny thing was is the fact that they took up so much space at Tomorrow Studios. That the exterior of the Baratier was there,
yeah.
But the interior was half an hour away.
Oh my God!
In a stadium, that's how big it was.
Oh my God!
Interior like sports place where it was built, and you think to yourself, you know, the money, the expense that went into that, and I'm sure I wouldn't think they'd get rid of it. I'm sure they'd keep it for.
Or at least, like,
it would be madness to just use it for 3 or 4 eps.
When we spoke with
us, I want that bar part to stay. Like, make that a permanent thing. Put it in Cape Town. Like, ring the Baratie. Like, bar half with the fish head. Just keep that.
They should. I think Stephen Maeda said they took it down, which is nuts. I agree. I think that. I mean, I would go to that restaurant if they moved the parts to. Why not? I think it would do very well.
Yeah,
as long as no one got food poisoning.
Yeah, it was an absolutely breathtaking set. I remember the first day that I got out of the car, walked through, it was pitch black, and then you walked in when we was rehearsing, and it's just incredible the craftsmanship and the, as I said again, using that word detail that went into just the tiny little things, you know, in the kitchens, the galleys, the restaurants, on the wood, the badges, the papers, the just incredible.
Just like the tiniest small detail that you wouldn't think you'd tiniest, see. Like they thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to do a rewatch and just look for all those little tiny things there. Delaney or Brodsky, do you have questions? Otherwise I was gonna ask around the ones that we usually ask. No?
I mean, go for it.
I'll go for something. So how
go
much
for something.
Go for something. All you can do in this life is go for something. Did you read any of it? Did you do any sort of like prior research, like with the manga or the anime, or just to kind of get it?
No, I didn't. I'm not going to pretend and lie. I did.
Why not?
No, because I was cast quite late.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
So I was cast, and I think 2-3 weeks later, obviously, Tad said to me, "Look at all this stuff on YouTube." So I went on YouTube and I looked, and then I realized the guy was playing.
He sent you a research packet. That's amazing.
I adore that. Like, that Taz is being like,
here's what happened. He said, "Get your ass onto YouTube and do some homework." And then I realized who the character was. Yeah.
No, that's amazing. The reason I'm excited to be on this batch of interviews we're doing with actors is because it's a lot of intrigue in terms of like what specific actors can bring to roles when you're adapting something like this, which is A, makes it like 10 times cooler that you kind of nailed it, even with just sort of like a beginner's crash course, which is entirely a valid way to jump off and get to where you need to go to do your
job. Need a crash course. It's a long
series.
You
need a crash course. I don't recommend just inhaling it to do it. But also because there's this really cool layer of like subtext that I don't know if like Matt or Steven or any of the showrunners would have thought of, with you kind of coming in as this sort of, you know, like gruff London guy. Because I, just for the benefit of folks listening, being working class in the UK versus being working class in America, very different things. There's a lot of working class pride in the UK as opposed to in America. If you're poor, you're the scum of the earth.
She's in the UK right now. That's why.
Yeah. I get to be awake at the a normal accent time for doesn't. This.
This is the first time that Delaney's at a normal time.
but, you know, going hundreds of chapters into the future, the whole thing with Sanji is that he's from a rich family who does not, like, they don't value food. They don't value human life, and a huge element of, like, that's why they look down on him. So it's one of those things that I have to imagine, obviously, Oda knew this, but then it goes down more by, like, step by step by step. And it's one of those things that you can contribute to a sort of reimagining of a show like this that just sort of happens. And whether everyone knew it or not, is a really cool element to have in there. It's like a working class philosophy making Sanji who he is.
I think the different accents made it more interesting, you know, of the, you know, because when it's homogenized and everything's the same, it's you know, and you watch all the shows now, there's always an eclectic mix of the diversity is incredible now. It's like you've got people from everywhere. It's great. You know.
And the One Piece world is so, I mean, you feel the bigness of it in the series with all the, I mean, especially just with all the new amazing faces that are in it, and also getting to see, I think you and I think it's Vincent, right?
Vincent, yeah.
How was it? I know you did one scene with him. Was that, so you've had another gruff, older character to bounce off of?
Me and Vince, we've done a couple of movies together in London.
Okay.
Yeah, we're mates. So those scenes, funny enough, with me and Vince at the table when we talk about the new generation coming through, they weren't part of the anime or the manga.
Right.
They were
freshly written. And they were beautiful scenes. You know, I really enjoyed doing them. So did Vince. Just interesting. It just gave a little bit of depth, if you know what I'm trying to say. It was just, you know, you got the kids, you got this, you got that. And then all of a sudden you have this really intense, heavy scene about, you know, life and, all right, he's retelling a story. But there was a lot of subtext in that.
I really, really enjoyed that scene too. It's needed for, because like the live action itself is like, it's its own like love letter, its own separate universe kind of from like the anime and manga. So it's nice to have like stuff like that where you can throw in like new scenes where old fans, new fans can get like super excited. And honestly, I just loved the dynamic that you two had together. One, it's nice. It's like, it's fun that you guys have like worked together in the past, but like just having like, again, like the Zeph and Garp have never interacted really in the anime manga. So it's like getting to see that together, I'm like, it's perfect. It was so well done and so needed, I think.
Oh, that's good. Well, I mean, I suppose that could have been called risky, really, because not sticking to the strictly to the, but from the messages I've had online, I think the fans appreciated it. I know, as I say, I'm not undermining
absolutely.
It. There's only a couple of small scenes within a big series, but they took to it rather than going, what's this, you know? Which is good.
See, this is why I say don't discount showing up later, and not to wish more food poisoning and air travel on you. But you know, clearly, no one's hesitating to add more Zeph content to the show. So, and people are really responding to it. I personally thought it was one of the highlights for me, if I'm being very honest.
And like the thing is, you never know, is because it's. They use like the manga as kind of like the base, but like as you can tell, like they add on, they change things, so you never know, they might call you back for another scene or anything like that.
What will be, it's out of my hands. It's one of them.
that's true too.
But I just want to call back to what you said, like when we first got on too, is that like since you're doing the concert, you're seeing like it's a whole new wave of fans that you get to interact with, that like, yeah, you can see like the scale that is One Piece versus like say from like your other films. It's like such a, the One Piece fans, I don't know the best way to describe us, is they're very passionate, I guess, but also like, I say we're nice. I hope we're nice.
Intense is a good word.
Let me just brutally say this, because I have met so many lovely people, and the people, the gifts, that the drawings that people have given me of Zeph, and people have gone out of their way, and I've done about 12 of these now, I think. And I, you know, they're picking up. I've just got a load of dates coming this evening. You know, farther afield, but the love for the show and the love for the characters, the love is just, it's incredible. You know,
the philosophy I've learned is every One Piece character is someone's favorite One Piece character.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Even the one we don't know the name of.
Even that guy and that guy and especially yeah. that guy.
Yeah. But Zeph's hat has probably their own probably. Fan club.
But it makes me
they were very offended by the fact that you had to hit it into a fan getting into the door, you know, and those specific people. Did you have a chance to actually watch the whole live action series?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. Because before we have I think four or five very difficult questions that are very impossible to answer, but they're subjective questions. And I just want to make sure that you saw it. They're just basically, first, who your favorite, and you might be biased here, who your favorite Straw Hat Pirate is.
To be honest with you, and I mean this, you know, Taz is my mate. I thought he stood out in the show. He's charismatic. He's got the look. He's got everything going on. But the person I really thought was incredible out of the four of them was Luffy. I know he's the main guy, but I just,
yeah,
he was incredible. He's so likable. My wife said, you know, meeting him, lovely kid. And I think that genuine, authentic personality, innocence, just everything about him shone through the screen. You could tell that there was no attitude about him. He wasn't a fucking awkward or a little spot. You know what I mean? He was just
he's
a really good kid who was great at what he did.
And I will say this too, like, I've never met anyone or seen anyone that embodies who Luffy is.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
And he does that like on and off screen. Like, I see this. Even like all of his like Instagram posts or anything like that, just like he's so again likable, just charismatic, and he is so perfect for the role. It's like kind of insane.
I
have a friend who just knew Inyaki, and that's why she watched the live action series and she loved it. But yeah, he's just a very genuine. On the screen, it looks like, and off the screen. You can't choose yourself for this one, but who's your favorite non-Straw Hat Pirate? Or anyone else in the series, basically.
I thought Mihawk was breathtaking.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good answer,
too. I thought he was absolutely incredible. He stood out in the show. His delivery of lines, he was cool. Very suave, slick, great choice. Regardless that I was in the show, what I did notice when I was there, that every single person that they cast was absolutely bang on. I mean, they were so right for their roles and so like the anime and the manga. Yeah. It was incredible. But I thought it was brilliant. I thought he really stood out.
It's crazy. No matter what you think about the show, if there's one thing that is absolutely spot on, it is the casting, yourself included.
That includes yourself too, because again, the moment I saw you, I'm like, that's Zeph.
Yeah. Zeph's just been walking around the streets of London and we had no idea.
You can only dream of meeting Zeph at your local pub.
That's true. One day.
He's playing the slots.
Yeah. The third question, who's your favorite villain in the series?
Favorite villain?
Antagonist.
Yeah. I suppose it's got to be Buggy, isn't it? It's got to be.
That's you been know, like I the think, consensus.
Yeah. I think he's another guy who stood out for me. Great energy, very good. Without a shadow of a doubt.
And the last question is what, I guess you can include your own, but what your favorite story is of the, so I guess of the four, the your favorite story arc.
I've got to say the island for me, you know, my little story because it was mine.
But you're right. You know, you might be right though.
It was different. It wasn't light and fluffy. It was, it had a little, there was more depth to it.
The emotional beats of that one.
Yeah, it was serious.
When it gets into the emotional politics of the world too, where it's like, let's talk about, you know, leading up to that conversation with you and Vincent, with like, we got to sort of build up to the people coming after us. And like, they didn't write that scene originally 25, 6 odd years ago. With that level of foresight for, you know, a series that's as old as my sister, but it's always something that was there, and it's great that they sort of, they drew it out, you know, and knew what they wanted to take away from that.
And I'll also say too, is like, when people think of One Piece, like out of context without ever watching it, they think like, oh, it's a like happy, goofy pirate thing. But then when you're actually watching it, like having emotional beats like that island scene, like it's like, even like with like Nami and everything like that, it's just, it makes it, people are like, oh, I actually cried. You're like, yes, it's a really emotional series. So it really, like having those, like that moment is particular too, like made me like really care for Sanji and for Zeff and like their story.
Because, you know, what you were saying is true. And what I was just saying earlier is the fact of when you get a show like that, that is, you know, fantasy, but it has depth to it, and there is emotion going on, and it's got the human story, you know, at its heart, and there's things that make it more relatable to everybody. It's you know, maybe that is what made it a success, because it was, you know, so good.
I mean, that's the reason I love the manga and the anime and the live action series. The characters and the emotion and the honesty that is in it, despite the giant hats and the giant mustaches and whatever else that might be there, that the fishmen and, you know, the very off the wall stuff is there. It kind of disarms you, and then you find yourself crying at something, and you're like, oh.
I mean, even with the scenes with Taz when he left and I said a goodbye, you know, we both said, you know, we've got to play it real. We can't play it, you know, theatrically. It has to be real. Like, you're leaving, and even though the show is theatrical, you've got to play everything small.
The only thing I'm like very sad about is that I wish that there was more time we were able to have with you and Taz, particular, and the whole series, is just because you have 8 episodes, which is no one's fault, but maybe Netflix's fault. I don't know. But but just to have more time, I think, with you and Taz would, you know, I could watch a whole series on that, to be fair. Maybe one day.
It's like a Barate spin-off series, build everything back.
Yeah, just go back. Just a cooking show.
Tell Taz to bring your play back. Do another run of that.
Yeah.
Talking of other work, I got a really... Do you like Fargo? Anybody like Fargo?
Ooh, yes.
I love Fargo.
Well, there's a British version. It premieres in the US on the 12th of March on Amazon. It's called Boat Story. 6 1 hours. It's very Coen Brothers, very Fargo. I'm in it. Oh. It's a great show. It's a great show. Try and check it out if you get a bit of spare time.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Of course. It's a million miles from One Piece, but it's still good.
No, it's...
Is One Piece not a boat story?
I was going to say.
Very true.
That's the connection. Is there anything... Is there anything else you're in that you think One Piece fans in particular should be watching that you've done in the past or the future?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I would say the type of stuff I do, I headline a franchise of movies here called Rise of the Foot Soldier. They're very dark. They're very violent. I wouldn't like to mix it up, and I just don't think they're right for.
So there are some One Piece fans, I'm sure, that would love that. There's a wide range of people.
Zoro enjoyers.
I know, but
yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I just want to say I was very, very grateful to be part of One Piece. Amazing show. I'll never forget. And had an incredible time in Cape Town. Met some amazing people. And it's one of those shows. It's one of them jobs as an actor that you never, ever forget.
That's awesome.
Sure. Yeah, we've been kind of blown away by how overwhelmingly positive it's been. Because, like, you know, this much money and this much time and this much, you know, you kind of get scared that you're going to hear some horror stories, especially if it's about a thing that you already like. It's like, no, I don't want someone to be bad or be upset because they had a bad time on the set. Like, I don't think we've talked to a single person who was like, yeah, you know, it got kind of rough, but everyone has been so overwhelmingly positive about their time there, and it's just really encouraging to hear that.
I mean, like, no one ever wants like badmouth work, like that's
besides that's the food poisoning.
But like, I'll say, like, to piggyback off Delaney, it's like, it's from everyone we talk to, like the passion, like we can see how much you guys love it, like by telling your stories, like all your interactions and stuff like that. And it just, every time I rewatch it, it helps me like love it even more just by seeing how like everyone has just been. So, like, there's been so much love put into it.
And let me just say something to it as well. The work, you know, the Straw Hats, the four main cast members, I mean, it's like 8 or 9 months of work, and it's not easy. It's hard work. It's early hours, long hours, you know, getting picked up in the dark and working all day long. And you know, I watch them kids work. You know, it's very physical. It's not an easy gig.
It has particularly, I know.
But, yeah. Oh, my God, he was out there in the November training then, and you know, that whole year of filming, and now going back to do season two. I know he's just finished the movie, but proper work for young actors.
Trial by fire.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Craig. It was really a pleasure speaking with you.
Have one more thing too, Zach. It's like, because you said you were doing. Oh, well, like this is more just being like for him to kind of promote and see too. Because said you did like the con circuit last year, and you said you have a bunch more lined up. Is there any that you want to let people know that are like upcoming, or can you, if you can announce it, or if you have to wait, just say like, you know, keep an eye out on your media.
Well, no, the only problem is, I mean, I'm in Dublin at the weekend. They're all in Europe.
Oh, okay.
In Vienna, Spain, Amsterdam.
I would take a trip to any of those places.
And I mean, some of the agent I'm dealing with at the moment is now talking to maybe a couple of US shows, Japan. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think predominantly it's the Straw Hats that are, and then, you know, if they're all ill, then they'll get us.
I'll say, I'm sure if there's conventions listening, I'm sure they'd love to have you. It's just whether or not you want to make the long flight and jet lag. And
there's some good ones out in the UK too.
But I think what you've got to do, if you do go to the US or Japan or to the Middle East or Asia, like I did when I went to, you've got to do a few.
Yeah.
So they're a week, you know, you do them, or a couple of weeks, and then you fly.
You make it a vacation or something. You spend some time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've done that before. You bundle it. You make it a work trip. It's like, all right, you hit here, and here, so I don't have to be flying 9 hours within 2 days.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks for speaking with us. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
What a lovely day over there. I hope it's lovely and sunny.
So that was our interview with Craig Fairbrass. I first want to say, please check out all of his movies and television shows if you have the time. He specifically mentioned Villain, the movie he starred in, and
Boat. There's a new one coming out too.
Boat Story.
Yeah, Boat Story. I want to make sure.
Boat Story, right. Which should be out by the time this episode is going up. But if you have not gone to check it out, please go check out Boat Story on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
His role in that apparently is Guy. I don't know if that means a guy or the name is Guy, but I assume the latter. But yeah, very excited. I'm definitely going to check that one out. That sounds fun.
Me too.
And he's been in things from, like, he's been in a lot, as he mentioned. So please check out his work. Yeah. So what do you all think? What's the takeaway here?
I can see where he would be sort of blown away by One Piece fan response because, you know, your work travels and he is, you know, he's fairly ubiquitous for, you know, folks over in the UK, for the British. Yeah. But obviously One Piece is sort of an animal in comparison to, you know, you're getting a pint.
A Cerberus of sorts.
A Cerberus of sorts in comparison, like, you know, you're getting a pint. It's like, oh, I loved you in EastEnders. It's like, you know, that's still a very active thing, but One Piece is—it's intense, like it's a lot. But it's been nice to hear that he's had a good sort of integration into the fandom, especially because I think we can all agree, as we told him pretty much to his face, that he has some of the best stuff in the entire show.
Oh yeah, like,
absolutely.
Zeph is such a character in both of a way. Like he has a presence about him too, and it's just. Again, like if you have a character that has the most like cartoony features, like the big hat and like the mustache, but like the way that it translates on here too is just he does it so well. Like it's like if it's that fantasy versus like the reality, and it's just again like nailing the character, having that like good chemistry on set, and just like you can definitely see like you know him working with. People that he's like with Vincent and with Taz and stuff like that too. It's like it has to be like you can both be very serious and like you know he knows you know when to turn on and off because of everything. But like it helps. I wonder if it helps like add to those scenes too because you can play more to it as well. But like he's such an amazing actor.
Agreed. Yeah, I was. Very stunned that we even had the opportunity to talk with him. And I'm very thankful that he did sit down with us. And yeah, I'm sure the experience of being around One Piece and anime manga fans or One Piece live action fans has been a real seismic shift in the reception of his career, I'm sure, because the stuff he's done, as he's mentioned, like action stuff, and he's done British mainstays, apparently Call of Duty, if it's not clear, I don't play a lot of Call of Duty.
I've never guessed Zach.
No, you would never guess that. Wow.
The calls of duty and the modern warfare.
Warfare? No, but those aren't like the kind of franchises that elicit the kind of reaction that you get from One Piece fans or other sorts of anime fans. It's a very particular type. I'm very curious how his travels and travails have been. And will continue to be because I'm sure it's a very fish out of water story. But it sounds like he's really enjoying it.
One thing I want to say is like, hats off to like the One Piece fans for like, you know, you being so like kind and welcoming and like seeing like when we're talking to him and like how like he's seeing this world and how everyone's so nice, like brings him like drawings and stuff like that. Just like it's. This different level of joy that he has, you know, you don't really get to see from your normal films when like people do like those meet and greets and just like, thank you to the fans for, you know, being so open and welcoming to like honestly everyone. And like, I can tell every actor and everyone who's worked on it has been loving just their interactions with the fans and seeing the love for it. So I don't know. That's one thing I'm getting out of all of these is like the fans have been really nice to everyone.
Thank you. Thank you for being normal One Piece fans. Thank you so much. Even if you didn't like the show, it's like, I think that, you know, it's a very, it's good to sort of keep it positive for the folks who are working on it and put in the effort. Because obviously you lose sight of that when you're just complaining about it on Twitter. And obviously people do. Trust me, if One Piece fans know anything, it's complain on Twitter. But it's been good that he's had a very good face-to-face experience.
On behalf of One Piece fans, not all of us do that. Some.
Not all One Piece fans.
Not all One Piece fans. That's what I was, yeah. I think for sure, it's like I said, I don't think, you know, when a series doesn't succeed, it isn't any one thing. It's sometimes things completely out of your hands. And as I think I said, you could have a wonderful series that's done perfectly and no one watches it. You know, maybe it's on Apple TV or something and no one gets to see it because they forgot that existed. And here it was lucky that, yes, not only did everything kind of come together to work out, but it also has found a lot of success. And as I said, if there's one thing that was done perfectly in One Piece season one, it was the casting. I can't really think off the top of my head of anyone I'd say was miscasted or poorly casted. Everyone was somehow they found the real life versions of all these characters in the world. And it's confounding.
It's really funny because, like, as he was saying too, like they were struggling to cast for Zeff until Taz was like, "Hey, have you looked at Craig yet?" And it's just like Tej's hand is being just like, "Here's this perfect man that looks like the part, acts exactly like Zeff." Just like it's like here,
and he's also my father figure as an actor, so this will work even better.
What a dad vibe to be like, "What do you need me to do?" And he's like, "All right, here's the things." He looks at, "All right,
love it, love it."
And yeah, he didn't do any other research. He was just like, "All right, here's what Taz sent me. I'm gonna do my job." Yeah, like very, very to the point. And I think that, like, people do kind of get hung up on like fidelity to the work. Sometimes you just come in and you know what you got to do.
Well, he also said too in the beginning, if you remember, like when his character and he played in villain too, is very as much that like was like really rough, but then has kind of like that like heart of gold type thing. So it's like he nailed Zeff's characteristics. Just like he like knew exactly like what type of person he is. He's like, "All right, I got it." And like that's just a testament to his acting.
I'm trying to figure out what they could have done with the island scene that like what version of that exists that wasn't the version we got, which
I'm so curious.
Near perfect. I should have maybe pushed him like what were you guys doing at that point? Because he said it was a bit smaller. It wasn't quite as so I wonder if maybe, sort of towards the end, they were like, "We got to sort of pad it out because it's a
whole chapter." Well, he also said, like,
chapter,
having,
isn't it?
I'm curious. I think maybe it was like a nervousness or I wanted to poke more too. Because he sounds like, you know, they had to build like the green streets, made the set larger. So I'm curious if it was much a smaller, closer set too. This is like, sorry, hindsight's 2020, but like my anxiety's higher than my 2020. So like I'm hoping that, you know, if who's ever listening, we get some more behind the scenes footage. And
I mean, I guess the question is, if they reshot it, do we want to see the original version, or would that?
No, I think like at the version that they pick, because again, like it needed that extension, it needed that emotion that they brought to it,
and that it's like, just one. It's the only flashback I think that's just one scene. It's not like done in the Lost style of the, but it's the one that deserves it. I think the rest. He may be Nami's, but definitely that one, I think.
Well, that You have one take to go to be like, why is Sanji like the way he is? And like, why is their connection this strong?
Why is Zeff the way he is?
Yeah, why is Zeff the way he is? Why is Sanji the way he is? Like, you needed that scene. And again, like the beats that they added to the live action, like I remember like just my friend was enjoying it because, again, he knew nothing really of like One Piece. Like he'd only watched like, I think like 100 episodes at that point. It was just me there like, like with the my board of like being like, this is what they added, this is this, and just like me going at him. I think especially with the scene with him and Vincent, with him and Garp, because it's just like there was an in there, but like it's such a good transitional piece into like in closing of season one to opening.
Brodsky with the Pepe Sylvia board.
Literally just like, yeah, yeah. Literally
like pointing to the non-existent Pepe Sylvia board. Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And the thing is, Vincent and Craig are probably some of my favorite actors in that. I love gruff British, Scottish, London, whichever accent they have, as long as they have an accent. Men in series. Yeah, yeah. What is it that you're, Brodsky, what's the shirt your partner has, the old man?
Yeah,
no,
say,
no,
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 say
no.
We're not going to bring that up. Right. I'll text.
Okay, you text it. On that note. No, that was
with the last pregnant pause.
Yeah. With that pregnant pause. No, it was really amazing to speak with Craig. I hope we get a chance. As of me sitting here right now, we have no plans in the works to have Vincent, because I don't think he's answered, or his agent. But hopefully one day, because I did really... They had a little too much of the Garp storyline, yes, in the series, but he's so standout. Like, it's not... There's a good example of that. Is definitely not his fault that there's too much of that, or if that's your opinion on it. But yeah, I hopefully one day. Yeah. Anyway, on that interesting note that I left us on, we'll see you. We'll see you next time, everyone. That's cheers on this. Opla.
Opla.
Is that a thing we're doing? That's the thing.
Oh, we got to start that. Opla.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing a bit Opla. Now. Okay. Opla. Opla.
I'm doing a fake glass as if I don't have a mug right next to me.
To pick
we'll
up
see you
mug.
Next time.
Bye, guys.
Opla.
Text Zach to pick up his mug. Opla.
If you love anime and D&D, check out Warlock. It's the story of me, Nova Ravenwood, a young woman born without magic who forms a pact with a mysterious being for power. Set in a fantasy world of adventure, dragons, and powerful sorcerers, the story unfolds like an anime for your ears.
And don't forget about our muscular hunk of a classmate, me, Ren. Too bad this is audio only, otherwise you could see that I'm flexing my arms off over here.
Are you seriously interrupting the ad? You moron! Sorry, we'll get out of your way.
Wait, hang on. I haven't even told them about my amazing powers. I guess I should describe myself a little bit more first. First thing, I don't wear a shirt.
Thanks, Briar! Join the quest and listen to Warlock wherever you get your podcasts. Or visit warlockpod.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Steve Yerko.
And I'm Tara Sands. Now available from Maji Media is our new podcast, 4Kids Flashback. 4Kids is the company who brought you the English dub of Pokemon in the late 90s and so many other shows like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Shaman King, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kirby, the infamous One Piece dub, and so many more.
We'll be talking to the people who worked at 4Kids. Actors, directors, writers, editors, producers, engineers, you get the point. And hopefully get the answers to questions both you and I have about the company.
I actually worked there as a voice actor on some of the shows.
And I was a kid watching the shows and remember way more than Tara does.
And thank God for that. Steve is actually a professional storyboard artist, which gives some really unique insights into anime and animation. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. That's the number 4Kids Flashback.